We're looking for sustainable pay award, sustainable agreement going forward, taking into account that we don't want to see a return to where government policy becomes reckless, because when you hear Minister O'Donoghue talk about public service pay and public expenditure, you would actually believe that the government had nothing to do with that going back to the past. But we're looking for sustainable agreements on pay, on pensions, and on members' working conditions, and obviously to protect the public service for the public going forward.
So far, no disagreement I can discern between you and Pascal Donoghue.
Well, I think there will be plenty of disagreements because, unfortunately, the Minister has been trying to condition the public into believing certain things about the public service, and also trying to condition our members into accepting something that may be far less than their ambitions. At the end of the day, it's been over 8 years since any pay movement in the public sector. Our members, who are predominantly low paid, expect some significant progress to be made, keeping in mind the challenges of the economy and the society.
Eddie Molloy, just on that point about, expectations, again, just looking at the coverage yesterday, Pascal Donoghue wrote a piece in The Examiner, and the front page write-off, as it were, said that officials are said to be deeply concerned about the affordability of any new pay deal. That's the conditioning that Paul Bell is talking about. It's normal part of the pre-negotiations.
Well, instead of calling it conditioning, I mean, one of the key jobs of government in this context is to manage expectations. And they've made a mess of it for the last 10 years. I mean, as soon as the green shoots appeared in 2014, they were conceding, Brendan Howland was conceding, that pay restoration was a legitimate expectation. You have the central bank recently coming out with a ridiculous concept of the Phoenix miracle. I mean, and also that they're going to reduce USC. So the government, Pascal Donoghue, is really the first minister who has tempered the expectations, and he's giving the facts.
And not only the central bank or others, but I mean the Central Statistics Office last week, figures that suggest unemployment has now fallen back in the direction of 6%.
Yes, yes.
So why wouldn't people expect that financial emergency measures taken in the public interest, or FEMPI, would be unwound?
Well, I would say why I think not, because I don't think the crisis is really over, okay? I really don't. And why do I say that? I mean, there were five big hits when the crash occurred. First of all, the rainy day fund of $20 billion disappeared, and God knows we need one of those now with the advent of Brexit. Secondly, there was infrastructure. I mean, between 2007 and 2014, the collapse in infrastructure spending in the state was 63.7%. The collapse in public pay was 13%. Also, services were decimated because there was a moratorium, and we see that with the numbers on trolleys and 600,000 people waiting more than a year to see a doctor. So I can't see how you can say that accelerated pay restoration is what the unions are looking for. And I think that accelerated pay restoration is not affordable, and I also think that the pay and pensions and parks allowance model within the public service, to use Paul's word, is not sustainable.
Well, just to go back on that, first of all, at your intro, Sean, you made it quite clear that the Public Service Pay Commission is reporting to Cabinet today. And basically, their work, as I understood it, was to examine all these issues, including FEMPI, including pensions, including sustainable employment, retention, and indeed recruitment of essential public servants. So the government and the Irish Congress of Trade Unions are going to be well informed about the parameters in which they can operate. At the end of the day, it's government policy that some of these things happen. We cannot go on the way we are in relation to paying the public service. We can't go on in relation to ignoring the fact that we have recruitment and retention issues. And I'm confident, by the way, that whatever the Public Service Pay Commission say to the parties involved in these negotiations, there will be serious cognizance taken of that. What's deeply troubling our members is that government seem to be, and in particular the Minister for the Department of Public Expenditure Reform, seems to be trying to second-guess the Public Service Pay Commission, or trying to in some way dilute or distort what they have to say. And we haven't yet seen what they have to say, but I am convinced that a number of things will emerge from the Public Service Pay Commission that our members will welcome in allowing a discussion to unwind FEMPI, to try and get some pay progression. And a lot of people have suffered quite significant pay cuts, and you can see today, look, you read your own programme before we came on air, the increase in mortgages, the increase in rents, it's all impacting on our members.
And Eddie Molloy, I mean, surely Kevin Duffy, a man of vast experience at settling industrial disputes in his previous work with the Labour Court and the Labour Relations Commission, is sufficiently cognizant of all the issues that need to be taken into account, to the point where apparently he's going to have three actuarial reports into the various claims made on pensions.
First of all, it's not his job to settle a dispute in this case. It's quite the remit of this commission is to produce the facts, including the actuarial reports. And what I welcome, and I hope to God, this time we get the facts. You have the Davies facts, you have the CSO facts in recent times. I was on your programme disputing it with Jimmy Kelly. So it would be a huge breakthrough if we have the facts. And in that I agree entirely with Paul. We have never had the facts fully
loaded.
Are
you saying a pay freeze should continue?
But see, Paul makes the point that, you know, that hopefully the thing will produce the facts that will allow the unwinding of FEMPI. What if the facts say you can't unwind FEMPI? What if this has always been the expectation of the unions, when some kind of commission or benchmarking or whatever.
There's always going to be a reason for saying no. Brexit, world events or whatever. But surely within all of those uncertainties, there has to be some way towards raising...
There has to be. Pascal Donoghue has done a very important thing this year. He has said to all departments, I want all your estimates in by March. Now, what that does is it changes the sequence in which public sector pay is considered in the context of all the other demands on the public purse. Because I won't go back over the timelines on this, but if you lead up to the budget in October 2016, something like 40% of the available fiscal space was already spoken for in deals done with the unions before anything else got a look in. And I think that's wrong. And that hopefully this time, armed with the estimates from everybody, there'll be much more of a level playing field.
You haven't answered the question, by the way. I asked about 3 minutes ago about whether there should be any pay rises.
Pardon?
Whether there should be any pay rises. Are you saying there should be no pay rises?
I don't think there should be accelerated pay rises. For example, in this studio...
Well, I mean, just to take a figure, I know Paul Bell is likely to say... Sorry, I don't mean to speak for you, Paul. Well, let me do that yourself. Well, I mean, it's a frequent thing we hear. Oh, we're not going to negotiate over the airwaves. Yeah. But the figure of 6% over 3 years has been put out there as one that would be the ballpark the government is thinking of.
It depends on whether it's affordable or not, Sean. This is the question about your preemptive... the whole purpose of this commission. And remember that this year alone, there was another 120 million, which was never bargained for, given to the trade unions on foot of advancing the €1,000 due in September back to March.
Okay. Well, look,
I preempt your answer. I mean, does that figure of 6% over 3 years, does that seem realistic to you, Paul?
We're not getting into that negotiation, Sean. You've answered that correctly. Very well done, thank you. That saves me the bother. Now, the situation is that we're living in a very, very fast growing economy, probably the fastest growing economy in Europe. Now, employment has increased, and we are very happy that we've played our role as trade unionists in that recovery. Accelerate pay progression is the wrong term we're using. First of all, the acceleration of the unwinding of FEMPI would allow some monies to come back to public servants. There's a lot of people out there who have suffered a fair amount of pay cuts and they're looking for a restoration of that. But what also has to be discussed is that in the wider economy, average pay increases for the last 3 years in the private sector have been running around 2.5%. That's what they've been running at. Now, public servants listening to this broadcast today will say, what's the difference for me? I've made a contribution to the recovery of the economy. I've sustained the public service, and the public service, which is very, very, you know, very, very badly needed, and obviously has been acting under pressure. I think Ed made the point very, very well there, that there are lots of pressures, in particular in the health service. I'm sure it's in education as well. So we're looking for a restoration of monies taken from us over a protracted period of time, obviously, or whatever that is.
And in saying that, are you including, by the way, the pension restoration? Are you talking about taking away the pension levy? I mean, if you want to make comparisons with the private sector, you might look at pensions and you mightn't like what you'd see there.
Well, let's see what the Public Service Pay Commission says. I think there's been a lot of conversation going on about pensions in the public
public sector as if it's some type of golden plate privilege. I think that when the examination that the actuaries have performed for the Public Service Pay Commission come back, maybe we'll be, you know, thinking about maybe things aren't as superior in the public service. Just one other point, Sean, this. A lot of things going on in the private sector in relation to pensions have not served the economy well either. A lot of workers out there have not been offered pensions or the opportunity to contribute to a pension, which is going to actually compromise us going